I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
But there's a
good Friday morning to you. So glad to have you on this podcast of Reeling It In, where we cast ourselves deep into God's Word and reel back those life applications. Hey, we are looking today here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. One of the most probably perplexing questions is for Christian is this one. What is God's will for my life? I mean, when we ask that question, what we really want to know is, what job should I take? What school should I attend? What person should I marry? What ministry should I be involved in? And often we ask that question at crisis points in our life, which we should. Now, today's text is going to challenge the way we normally think about God's will. I think our text suggests that when we ask, what is God's will for my life, we should put less emphasis on what does God want me to do and more emphasis on what does God want me to be. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, we find what some call the standing orders of the church. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, here's where you can start. Whereas in verses 12 through 15, Paul instructed us on our interpersonal relationships. In these verses, he talks about our attitude. So let's look at these. Verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, each of these commands is in the imperative, which means these are commands. Paul's not talking about our feelings. For the most part, we can't control our feelings anyways. They come and go. But Paul is addressing our mindset, our focus. And so this is simple, but it's also difficult discipleship because these three commands are not difficult to understand. We know God wants us to be joyful, praying, and filled with thanksgiving. However, it's the modifiers of each directive is what makes these commands difficult. We are to always be joyful. It says be joyful always, continually praying, and thankful in all circumstance. So let's look at this, be joyful always. Philippians 4:4, Paul told us this, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, before we can begin to understand what this means, we have to be clear what it doesn't mean. Paul's not telling us that we should be happy all the time. Now, that would be foolish. There are many things in life that bring unhappiness. Circumstances can bring sadness, grief, a sense of bewilderment. I don't believe Paul's telling us simply to put on a happy face. I mean, think about it. God doesn't want us to be phony. He wants us to be real. Sometimes we just don't feel happy. Here's what I want you to see. Joy is deeper than happiness. It is unrelated to the circumstances of life. It's anchored to our relationship with God. It is that exhilaration of the Spirit that derives from our deep-seated confidence in God's love, power, and His work in our lives. The deeper our roots extend in our relationship with God, the more joy we will know. So let's state the obvious. If you don't have a true and vital living relationship with God, you cannot know this kind of joy. The prerequisite to joy is a true vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're still putting your confidence in your own abilities, if you think you can do it on your own, if your faith is more of an academic issue than a vital relationship in your life, you will never find this kind of joy. I was reading a book and a section by Aaron Lutzer on what happens after we die. And in the book, Lutzer told of a time he was bobbing on a boat in Lake Michigan. Now, I can identify with this because I went fishing with Tim Freeze and Ron. And it was one of the first fishing trips I'd ever did on Lake Erie. And we got about halfway trying to make our way towards where we were going to go to fish. And man, the waves kept coming and the boat kept going up and down. And Ron and them looked over and said, "You feeling okay?" And I said, "No." He said, "You look green." Oh, my goodness. That was the worst feeling. Well, anyways, this Letts guy had this same seasick, and his friend told him to go look on the shore and pick something and keep his eyes fixed on it. So he said, "I chose the Sears Tower and discovered in a few moments that I felt better." And his friend explained that the motion of the boat confuses our balance system. If we look at the very object that is causing our movement, but we can handle the ups and downs if our eyes have a fixed object that is unmoved by our own vacillation. And this is how we experience joy. We cannot focus on the circumstances of life, or life will make us sick. We will be joyful sometimes, but often we will find joy lacking. We must instead put our focus on something that is constant. That constant is the nature and the character and the promise of God. I like John MacArthur, and he gives a number of constants that we should take away the seasickness of life circumstances. And he gives us this. He says, we should focus on God's righteous character, Christ's redemptive work, the Holy Spirit's ministry on our behalf, the spiritual blessings that we possess, God's providence as He orchestrates everything for our benefit, the promise of future glory, answered prayer, the gift of God's Word, a deep and sincere relationships in the body of Christ, the privilege of being able to share the life-changing message of the gospel. Now, did you know something about this list? These are generally not the things we think of when it comes to our key to our joy. We would list things like, well, good health, family, job satisfaction, great experiences, personal achievements. Our focus, if that's where it's at, our focus is on the storm-tossed circumstances rather than the stable character of God. Well, listen, I'm going to get out of here because I'm going fishing.